Prayer for your singing this morning of Oh Praise the Name. That's one of my favorite new hymns that has kind of come out or re-come out again in the recent years and been circulating in the church in the last couple of years, and you guys did an excellent job with that. I was singing along with you, so that was the screeching that you heard up front up here was me singing along with that hymn. It's one of my favorites. While you're turning to the text, I want to say a couple of things to you. Just number one, I have a group of guys up here that have begged me this morning to wish a happy anniversary to David and Roz Smith. And so, David and Roz, a happy anniversary to you. 29 years, they said, and so that's awesome. David said it feels like 29 weeks. Roz says it feels like 290 years. And so, take that for what it's worth. But happy anniversary to you guys. Also, I'm honored to have a couple of guests that are with us this weekend. My son Nathan is up here. Many of you have seen Nathan's picture, heard Nathan's name, wanted to meet Nathan, and he's here this morning. So if you want to meet him after church, he'll be glad to meet you today. He's at home on fall break, and so we're glad to have him here. And then also my mom, Mary Alice Raspberry, is visiting with us this weekend. We closed on our house that we were purchasing here Friday. And so my mom came over, and Nathan came home, and we gave them paintbrushes and said, welcome, we're glad to have you here, and go paint this room for us. And so we've been working on painting and getting our house ready to move in the next couple of weeks. So thank you for all of you that have prayed for us through that process, all right? Well, this morning we're in week three of our series that we've entitled Fruitful, Living a Life that Glorifies God. And in this series, we're attempting to answer this question: as a redeemed follower of Jesus, what do you understand that God in heaven requires of you? As a redeemed follower of Christ, what do you understand that sovereign God in heaven requires of you? And the answer, according to God's word, is that what he requires of us is that we would be fruitful. You see, once we have believed the gospel of Jesus Christ, and once we have been transformed by God's grace, God's desire for his children is that we would then bear fruit for him. Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10 affirm that we are saved and brought from spiritual death to spiritual life completely and totally by an act of God's grace, not of any good works that we have done. God does not save us on the basis of our personal goodness or anything that we have done to merit his grace. It's a complete act of his grace and his grace alone. But that text also says that you and I are a workmanship from God, belonging to him, which he created for us for the purpose of doing good works that we should walk in them. And good works are just another way to say bearing fruit. And so God's desire for us as redeemed followers of Jesus is that we would be fruitful. And early on, we defined spiritual fruit this way. We said spiritual fruit is the external evidence of an internal reality. Whatever is the controlling reality of my heart on the inside will eventually be displayed by my life on the outside. So just like it's the nature of an apple tree to produce what? Apples. It's the nature of a redeemed Christian to produce spiritual fruit or good works for God. And whatever is produced by the daily course of my life externally declares more about what's the reigning reality of my life internally than just the good religious words that I say or the religious boxes that I check. If you've been a Christian for any length of time, you've probably discovered that it's real easy in the church to check religious boxes. It's real easy in the church to talk the right Christian lingo. It's real easy to kind of, once you kind of get inside the building and get inside the Christian club, you kind of get used to what's expected and you know how to do the right things and say the right things, when in reality there might not be any of the presence of the Spirit of Christ inside of you and certainly not controlling you. But whatever is produced in my life externally and whatever is going on in my life on a consistent basis, whatever the fruit that others see of Christ in me externally says more about what's really reigning in my heart than any of the religious works that I can do. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 that a good tree bears good fruit and a bad tree bears bad fruit. It's a simple horticultural lesson. And that you will know a tree by its fruit. Now what that means is that in our fallen condition, before we come to a saving relationship with Christ, Before Christ redeems us by his Spirit, we are bad trees that bear bad fruit simply because that's our nature. It's the nature of human beings who sin and fall short of the glory of God and are controlled by a sinful nature. Our nature bears bad fruit. Our nature bears sinful fruit. Our nature will bear the things that are controlling our heart. And apart from Christ, what controls our heart is sin. But when we are saved, when we are redeemed, when we are changed by the Spirit of God, we then become good trees whose purpose is to bear good fruit for God. And so the second question that we have asked every week is, if that's God's purpose for our life is to bear good spiritual fruit, then how are you displaying in a public way the reality of God's saving grace in you? If the main thing that God wants from us as children of Him is that we would bear fruit, then how are you doing that? In what ways are you publicly displaying the internal reality that you have been saved and transformed by the grace of God? By way of review, and on the screen, we've looked at two topics so far this week and two main takeaways that I want to review for you. The first one of those is that I have been redeemed by God's grace in order to bear fruit for God's glory. I have been redeemed by His grace in order to bear fruit for His glory. And we see this in John 15, 16, when Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." That's a statement about our redemption. I chose you, I redeemed you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask in my name, He may give you. So I have been redeemed. That's the redemptive purpose of my life, is to go and bear fruit for the glory of God. My life is to be lived for God's glory. And we're going to talk about that in just a second. And so then we began to talk last week about, okay, if we've been called to bear fruit for Him, how does that process start? And it starts by what's going on in our hearts. So last week we looked at the parable of the soils, and we saw that there are four different types of spiritual soil that every single time God's word is broadcast, it finds one of those types of soil. And we said this truth, that the most important ingredient to my bearing good spiritual fruit is the spiritual status of my heart. And I say that because I don't want you to think that bearing fruit is about me giving you a list of religious works to perform. The most important thing that will determine whether or not you will bear spiritual fruit for God is the status of your heart. And we looked at those soils, and then we looked at the good soil in Mark chapter 1 when it said, "Those who were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit." It's only the good soil that's ready to receive the word that bears fruit. And it bears it in different levels, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. And so the most important ingredient to my being able and your being able to bear good spiritual fruit for God is what's controlling your heart. What's the status of your heart? Is your heart pliable and plowable for the Spirit of God to be able to plant the Word in? Today I want us to return to one of the most familiar passages in the Bible on the topic of spiritual fruit, and it's Jesus' vine discourse in John chapter 15. In this passage, Jesus was walking through a vineyard with His disciples, and He uses the olive vines that are in that vineyard to teach a profound spiritual truth that I want us to understand today. So let's read the first 11 verses of John chapter 15 this morning. Jesus says He's walking through this olive vineyard, probably gathers some of the vine and branches in His hands, and He says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear what? Fruit. Every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word I have spoken in you." A great promise. I've spoken this word in you, and you have been cleansed and changed because of that. "Now, abide in me," verse 4, "and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. You need to understand that verse very clearly. Apart from Jesus, you and I can do nothing of spiritual value whatsoever. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is like a branch. He is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now abide in my love. And if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. In this passage, Jesus gives us insight into the very dynamic relationship between our personal relationship to Jesus Christ as disciples and the process of bearing spiritual fruit. And put simply, if you are abiding in the vine, you will bear fruit. If you are abiding in Christ, it will be demonstrated through your life by the presence of spiritual fruit. And the main idea that Jesus is trying to get his disciples to understand here is that it is the bountiful presence of spiritual fruit in our lives that points people to the glory of God and proves the genuineness of our faith. We see this in verse 8 when he says, by this my Father is glorified, look at this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. By this reason my Father is brought glory, that you would bear fruit and prove to be my disciples. And Jesus is letting us know here that our lives are hardwired to give glory to someone or something. We are internally programmed by God to seek glory and to glorify or worship something. And you and I were created specifically to live our lives for the glory of God. And so how do we live a life that glorifies God? Well, we live a life that glorifies God by bearing much fruit. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and in doing so you prove to be my disciples. And that it's the glory of the fruit on the outside of the vine that speaks to the glory of what's going on inside. And so this is your takeaway today. It's on the screen. Spiritual fruit. When we talk about bearing spiritual fruit for God, it is simply the life of Jesus Christ in me being lived through me to the glory of God the Father. When we talk about spiritual fruit and we say God's purpose for your life is that you would go and bear fruit, and you say, well, okay, I understand that. How do I do that? I'm going to talk to you a little bit about that today. But it starts by understanding this truth, that spiritual fruit is the life of Jesus Christ in me being lived through me to the glory of God the Father. Vance Pittman preached on this, and he said basically that spiritual fruit or fruit is just the life of the vine being pressed out through the branches. The branches don't produce the life. They're just the conduit of the life of God being delivered from the vine. And so spiritual fruit is simply the life of Christ in me being lived through me, specifically to the glory of God the Father. So how do you and I become glorious fruit-bearing branches for God? And how do we become the kind of church that when God the Father looks down upon us gathered here today, what he sees is a grove of abundant God-glorifying branches that are so filled with spiritual fruit that the world looks at us and says exactly what we sang earlier, which is, how great is our God? How do you and I become the kind of church that isn't just a church that shows up for religious stuff and checks religious boxes and walks away totally unchanged, but how are you and I to become the kind of branches that are so filled with spiritual fruit that when the world looks at his people gathered together, they say, that is something that is appealing. That's something that I want to be a part of. So let's look at three truths about fruitful branches today. that I hope will help us to understand how you and I can be the kind of branches where the life of Christ in us is being lived through us to the glory of God the Father. Where does bearing spiritual fruit start? Well, he tells us in verses 4 through 8, and it's simply this: my bearing fruit for Christ is a byproduct of my abiding in Christ. It's really the most important thing that you need to understand today, that my bearing fruit for Christ is not a work that I perform. My bearing fruit for Christ is the byproduct of my abiding in Christ. Look again at verse 4 through 8. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Can't happen. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. The branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever it is and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove yourselves to be my disciples. The first thing that you and I have to capture if we're going to become fruit-laden branches for Christ is this truth. Listen carefully. Bearing fruit is not about trying harder to be religious. I became a believer when I was 19 years old, but I had been in the church for many years before that, and one of the things I had learned was how to be really religious in the church. And I thought that bearing fruit for Christ was about checking all the boxes. You remember when we were growing up, we don't see this very much anymore. You remember when we were growing up on the tithe envelopes, they had those boxes you had to check, those of you that have been Christians for a while. And the boxes over to the side said, attending church, Bible read daily, brought my tithe, shared my faith, you know, ran 50 laps for Jesus this week. You know what I'm talking about? And we were kind of programmed to think that being a good Christian meant checking all the boxes and trying really hard to do all those things, that that's what it meant to be the kind of Christian that God wanted us to be. Listen carefully, because I want to free you this morning as a follower of Jesus Christ to help you to understand that bearing fruit is not about trying harder to be religious. It's not about adding a heavy list of good works that God demands of us. And it's not about living your life operating on religious checklist. I can go out here and find an apple tree or an orange tree or a pear tree that's not producing very much fruit. That, as a matter of fact, when I was growing up, I remember my grandmother had a pecan tree in her backyard, and I use her pecan tree a lot when I'm talking about spiritual fruit, because I used to always love to go out into her yard in the fall and pick the pecans up out of that tree. But there was a period in my life when I was a young man where that tree went into a period of dormancy. I remember one Thanksgiving I was asking my grandmother, what happened to all the pecans? Did you pick all the pecans up? And she said, no, honey, that pecan tree hadn't given us any pecans this year. I think it's dying. I think it's dead. It's not working anymore. It wouldn't have done me any good to walk out to that tree and say, shame on you. Why don't you start producing pecans? What's wrong with you? Don't you know you're a pecan tree and you need to try harder to produce pecans? Adding a list of rules and regulations and guilt and obligations to Christians don't do anything to produce spiritual fruit. It does a lot to produce religious zealots, and it sometimes does a lot to produce religious hypocrites, but it doesn't do anything to produce spiritual fruit. And the reason for that is that, I want you to write this down, it's not in your notes, I want you to write this statement down. Fruitful Christianity is a product of being, not doing. Let me say that again. Fruitful Christianity is a product of being, not doing. We've been taught all our Christian lives that we ought to do a lot of good religious stuff. And on a fundamental level, fruit is accomplishing the good works which God has prepared us to do, according to Ephesians 2:10. But while most of us as Christians have been given an extensive list of good religious stuff to do, very few of us have ever been taught how to abide in Christ. When you became a Christian, did somebody come alongside of you and say, let me tell you how you're going to abide in Jesus Christ. Let me talk to you about what abiding in Jesus Christ looks like. You were given a Sunday school curriculum. You were assigned to a class. You were told if you're a good Christian, you come here, here, and here, and here's what you do, and here's what you don't do. And if you're a good Baptist, you don't drink, you don't chew, and you don't go with girls who do. You remember that? And we were taught all these works that we were supposed to do. But whoever came alongside of you and said, let me talk to you about how I've learned to abide in Christ. And Jesus says it here, abide in me and you will bear fruit. He doesn't say do these things. He says abide. The word abide in the Greek means to remain. It means to stay in a constant state of attachment. It means to linger with Christ. It means to be in a state of spiritual rest because you and I are foundationally connected to the life-giving vine of Jesus Christ. That's what it means to abide in Christ. It doesn't mean to try harder. It means to trust Christ deeper. When Jesus begins this illustration, he shows us that he is the vine, he is the central trunk, and we are nothing more than the branches that extend out from the vine. And he says there are two kinds of branches, branches that bear fruit and branches that don't bear fruit. Now, we've already said that God's redemptive purpose in our life is that we would bear fruit. And so like good trees bear good fruit and bad trees bear bad fruit, good branches have spiritual life in them that bears good fruit, and bad branches are simply dead wood that may claim some attachment to Jesus, but do not have spiritual life in them. And let me say this clearly, because I think the New Testament makes this point very clear, that in the church are good branches and bad branches. And there are good branches that are connected to the vine, and the life of Jesus Christ abides in the vine, and there are branches in the church that are dead wood. And they claim some attachment to Jesus, but they have no spiritual life in them whatsoever. And the key to being a fruitful vine is simply abiding in Christ. As we said, fruitful Christianity is a product of being, not doing. And it is our ability to abide or to rest in Christ and the gospel that will allow the fruit-producing life of Christ to be shown in our life. In my early Christian experience, I did a lot of good religious stuff. And I did a lot of it for the right religious reasons. I believed that I was redeemed by God. I believed that I was saved. I believed that I loved God and I loved His church. But I was put on this hamster wheel of expectations that I needed to prove to God and prove to others how much I love God. And all I was doing was religious stuff, but I wasn't doing it out of a spirit of abiding in Jesus Christ. And your experience is probably a lot like mine. That you can get busy in the church and you can get busy with religious deeds and you can get busy in all kinds of ministries and you can do all kinds of good religious stuff and not have spent 1 minute with God in His Word and prayer. You haven't spent any time simply developing your relationship with Him. So how do we abide in Jesus Christ? Well, we need to rest in the spiritual truth that Jesus and Jesus alone is enough. Just rest in the truth that Jesus and Jesus alone is enough. You don't need anything else to define you if you have Christ. You don't need Jesus and an impressive spiritual resume. You don't need Jesus and perfect church attendance. You don't need Jesus and more charismatic religious experiences. You need to rest in the truth that if you are a follower of Jesus Christ and you have been redeemed by the Spirit of God, that you have Jesus Christ and you have the Spirit of God in you, and that is enough. Rest. And you need to preach the gospel to yourself every day. You need to remind yourself every day of the truth that you are a great sinner and that you are in need of a great Savior. And you need to be reminded that Christ bore the price for your sin and you no longer have to bear the weight of that anymore because Jesus Christ died for it. And you need to preach that message to yourself every single day. And you need to learn as a follower of Jesus to focus on relationship and not religion. Focus on relationship with Christ and not religion. Abiding in Christ is simply living in a dynamic relationship with Christ through the Holy Spirit. And so when it comes to the spiritual disciplines, when you're focused on relationship and not religion, when you go to read the Bible, it's because it's the bread of life from God to you. And you're hungry for God's Word and you're hungry for the bread of life, not just because it's a religious duty that God expects of you, that you get to check off on the tithe envelope. When you pray, it's because you need to have a conversation with your good, good Heavenly Father who loves you, not just so you can check a box that says, yes, I prayed today. Fruit does not come from trying harder. It comes from trusting Christ deeper. And when it came to your salvation, God did not ask you and me to try harder. When it came to us being saved, God didn't say, I will save you if you will try harder to do this and this and this and this and this. What God wanted you to do was trust in what Jesus Christ has already done for you. And when it comes to growing in your relationship with Christ, God does not want you to try harder. He wants you to trust deeper. So my bearing fruit for Christ is a byproduct of my abiding in Christ. Which brings us to the second truth, and that is that God's plan for me is that I would increase in fruitful productivity in my Christian life. God's plan is that I would increase in fruitful productivity. God does not desire for His children to remain stagnant as Christians. Look at verses 2 through 5. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away, and every branch in me that does bear fruit, He prunes so that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Listen carefully. There is no such thing as neutral in the Christian life. There is no such thing as staying still spiritually. There is resting in Christ and resting in the truth that Jesus alone is sufficient, but there is no such thing as just kind of coasting spiritually. You are either moving progressively more into the image of Jesus Christ in you, or you are moving progressively further away from God's intention in your life. But there is no such thing as staying in neutral in the Christian life. And God's desire is that you and I would increase in our life in fruitful productivity. In other words, the more we abide and the longer we abide in Christ, the more fruit that you and I will bear for Him. Jesus shows us that discipleship is a process. And that just like different branches on a vine bear different levels of fruit, different disciples bear different levels of fruit depending upon their season in life. And so in your notes, I've given you three levels of fruit bearing according to verses 2 through 5. The first of those is that most Christians bear some fruit. Jesus said there were two types of branches, branches that bear fruit and branches that do not. And we said that branches that are relationally disconnected from Jesus will not bear good spiritual fruit. Branches that simply rest in the truth that they are branches, but do not rest foundationally on Jesus Christ, may look like branches on the outside, but they will not have any visible demonstration of spiritual life. They are dead branches, dead wood, that may look like a branch, but is not. So in the church, some don't bear any fruit for God, because while they may be present and while they may be religious, they are not genuine vines. Some don't bear any fruit, but most people in the church bear some fruit. It's the nature of being rightly connected to Jesus to bear fruit. And so if Christ is in you, fruit will come through you. And that's what he says there verse 2. He says some people bear fruit. There are some that bear fruit, there are some that don't. But then he says there's another level of fruitfulness, and it's that some people bear more fruit. Most branches bear some fruit, but some bear more fruit. That's why he says in verse 2, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear, do you see the word there? More fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, he does some work with so that it can bear more fruit. So some true disciples bear some fruit, and some bear more fruit than others. And some disciples in the church will submit to the care of the vine dresser more willing than other disciples will. Some Christians in the church will abide in Christ deeper than other Christians. And the deeper the abiding, the more bountiful the fruit. But then there's another level of fruit bearing, which he talks about in verse 5 when he says, whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears, you see it, much fruit. to an even increasing level of fruitfulness in our life. And so in this place gathered today are hundreds of vines. And some of you in here are bearing some fruit for God. You're not as fruitful as you should be. You're not as fruitful as you can be, but you are bearing some fruit for Him. Some people in here are bearing more fruit than they did a year ago or 6 years ago or 10 years ago. You're bearing more fruit. You're increasing in productivity. Some vines in here are bearing much fruit from God. And some of you, this is a season in your life and your relationship with God that you're bearing more fruit for Him than you've ever borne before. And the reality of it is that we're all in different levels depending upon the season of our life and depending upon the status of our abiding. Now, the point of this is not to have you and I go around comparing the fruit of our vines with the fruit of other people's vines. As I said last week, no one in the church is called to be the fruit inspectors of everybody else. The point is to show us that spiritual growth is a long-term process. And it's a process of surrendering our lives to the care of the vine dresser. Jesus is the vine, our Father is the vine dresser, and we as vines submit ourselves to the loving care of the vine dresser and understand that there are going to come stages in our life when God is going to come to us with the pruning shears of His grace. And He's going to say, you know what? You're a vine, you're connected to Me. And you've got some spiritual fruit on you. You've got some things in your life that give evidence to the Holy Spirit and Christ in you. But you got this attitude here that I need to deal with. And so I'm going to take these pruning shears and I'm going to start working on that attitude. I'm going to start cutting that out of your life. It's going to be painful at first, but I'm going to cut it out. I'm going to expose some stuff in you so that I can prune that out so that you can be more fruitful and productive for Me. You got this idol over here, this thing that you value. And it's not a bad thing. One of the problems with idolatry is we misunderstand idolatry to be wooden statues or evil things. And idolatry isn't always about bad things. Idolatry can often be about good things. You can make your family an idol. You can make your work an idol. You can make any number of things an idol in your life that takes precedence over your love and your devotion to God. And so He says, you've got this thing in your life and it's important. And I don't say that it's not important. It's just more important than Me, God says. So I'm going to prune some things so that you're not quite as dependent upon that or that you're not getting quite as much joy out of that as you used to, because I need to remove your heart from being devoted to it so that your heart can be devoted to Me so that you can produce more fruit in your life. Some of you in here, He comes to you and He says, you know what, you've got a really impressive religious resume. The problem is that all the stuff you're doing doesn't have anything to do with Me. So I'm going to start kind of cutting some of that stuff out because I want you to quit trying so hard. I just want you to trust Me so that you can bear more fruit for Me. God's desire for your life and my life is that you and I would be increasing in our fruitful productivity all throughout our lives. And it's only those branches that submit to the pruning process of the Holy Spirit that move from bearing some fruit to bearing more fruit to bearing much fruit. Earlier this year, we witnessed, as the world honored and celebrated, one of the most faithful disciples in our lifetime, the Reverend Billy Graham. Billy Graham was an exceptional man of God. But he was not, listen carefully, he was not an exceptional man of God because he had something as a Christian that you and I do not have. If you ask anybody in the church that's been a Christian for a long time, who do you believe is one of the most faithful Christians you've ever seen? Everybody will say, well, Billy Graham. I've even heard people say, well, you know what, I'm a Christian, but I'm nothing like Billy Graham. And we talk like somehow or another Billy Graham had this level of holiness and connectivity to the vine that you and I don't have. And the reality of it is that Billy Graham is no different fundamentally than you or me. As a matter of fact, Billy Graham was a great sinner who needed a great Savior, and he said that over and over and over again. What did make Billy Graham different than most people in the church was that he was an extremely fruitful branch who willingly surrendered himself to Jesus Christ every day for over 99 years. And the reason why there was a lot of fruitful productivity and increasing fruitful productivity in Billy Graham's life was because every day he submitted himself to the care of his Father. The longer you're a Christian, the more your desire should be that Christ should do more in you today than he's ever done in your life before. And I would submit to you that God's main purpose for your life is not that you would spend the vast majority of your life working 40 plus hours a week in order to reach a comfortable retirement where you waste away for the rest of your life in a chair. God's main purpose for your retirement and for your life might be so that you would have all the resources necessary and all the time available to make a deeper impact for Jesus Christ and the gospel than you've ever have before. God's desire for your life is that you would increase in fruitful productivity, which brings us to the third point, which is that it's the presence of abundant fruit for Christ that is the pathway to greater personal joy in our life. You want to have a life of joy? You want to have a life that's filled with joy? You want to have a life that when you walk out of the door, you walk out in the fruitful, abounding presence of Christ in your life? It comes from abiding in Christ and bearing fruit for Him. Look at verse 11. It says, "These things, these words that I have spoken," Jesus said to His disciples, "I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." Here's what Jesus is saying. Abundant, fruit-bearing Christians are joyful Christians. As a matter of fact, what is one of the things that Paul tells us in Galatians is one of the products of the fruit of the Spirit in our life? It's what? Love and joy. Abundant, fruitful Christians are joyful Christians. Jesus says it is for your joy that God prunes you and makes you more fruitful. And it is for your increasing joy that God wants to use you as an abundant branch full of God-glorifying fruit. It's the joy of the branch rightly connected to the Father to bear fruit that gives glory to God. A fruitless branch has no joy in it and brings no joy to Him. A branch with just a small spattering of spiritual fruit might have some evidence of Christ, but not really a level of joy. The joy of the vine to be connected to the branch. It's the joy of the branch to be connected to the vine so that it can bear fruit for the Father. And joy is not simply living with a level of happiness, because there's a lot of people in this community that seem to be living happy lives apart from Jesus Christ. They have smiles on their faces. They seem to be enjoying the good things in life. And for the most part, life may seem good for them right now. But the problem is that happiness is a temporal emotion that is tied to the reality of your present circumstances. And so when your circumstances are favorable, generally you will be happy. But when they turn unfavorable, generally, there goes your happiness. Joy goes much deeper than that, because joy goes to our relationship with Christ. It's something that's produced in us through the Holy Spirit. And joy transcends our circumstances, so that even like Job, joy will lead us to say, "Though he slay me, yet I will praise him." So how do you become a Christian who increases in joy? You increase in joy by increasing in spiritual fruit, by abiding in Jesus Christ. Verses 9 and 10 say, "Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love." Jesus shows us that it was because, as the Son of God, that he was abiding in the love of the Father, that Jesus Christ could joyously keep the commandments that the Father asked of him. That's what he says. I have abided in my Father's love, and as I abided in my Father's love, I was able to keep the commandments that he wanted for me. And if you will abide in my love, you will keep my commandments. If you will stay connected to the vine, if you will abide in Jesus Christ, it is to your joy to do the things that God asks of you. It's not drudgery. It's not work. It's not religious duty. It is to your joy to do the things that God asks of you. And so when God asks you to love that neighbor who doesn't know him and isn't very nice and gets on your nerves, and you'd rather pray for God to put a for sale sign up in his yard, but you understand that part of the process of being a fruitful Christian is to bear fruit for Christ. It is to your joy to pray for and to serve and to meet the needs of that neighbor, because you understand that that's part of being a vine connected to the, a branch connected to the vine. God does not say, keep my commandments and I will love you. God says, abide in my love for you and you will keep my commandments. And as you keep my commandments, you will abide deeper in my love and you will see increasing joy in your life. So we come back to this principle that God does not want you to try harder. He wants you to trust deeper. And as I said earlier, it's the bountiful presence of spiritual fruit in our lives that points people to the reality to the glory of God and proves the genuineness of our faith. And so, as you look at your life, what kind of fruit are you bearing? If I were to ask you today to do an evaluation, and I was to say, if you're connected to the vine, then it is your nature to bear some fruit. But God's desire is that you would submit to Him and to His Spirit, and that you would bear more fruit, and ultimately that you would be abounding in fruit and bearing much fruit for Him. If I were to ask you where you are kind of on that spiritual spectrum, what would you say today? What would you say about the last 6 months of your life or the last year of your life? Would you say, Pastor, you know what? I think I'm on that some level of fruit bearing. I mean, I've been a Christian for a while. I believe that Jesus loves me. I believe that I'm saved. But I don't really see a lot of spiritual fruit in my life. I don't really see a lot of the things that Galatians chapter 5 talks about. I just think I'm bearing some fruit, but I want to bear more. Well, maybe you need to ask God through the Holy Spirit to begin to do some pruning in your life. Maybe you can look at your life and say, you know what, I've been a Christian for a while, and I am bearing more fruit for God than I used to. I'm bearing more fruit for Him today than I was a year ago or 2 years ago or 5 years ago, but I feel like God has much more for me to do. And I want to bear much fruit for Him. I want to live the kind of life that brings glory to Him, so that when people look at me, they see the abundance of spiritual fruit and their instant reaction is, how great is their God? Where are you, Christian? Where are you on that spectrum? And maybe you're here today and you're not bearing any fruit for God, and the reason why you're not bearing any fruit for Him is because you're not connected to the vine. And I wouldn't send you out of here today with a spiritual checklist of things to do and say, if you'll leave and do this and this and this and this and this, you'll be fruitful. Because being fruitful is not a matter of trying harder. It's a matter of trusting the One who came and accomplished all righteousness for you and then went to the cross to die the death that was reserved for you so that you by His Spirit could be changed. And so maybe you're here today and the reason why you're not bearing any spiritual fruit is because you're not connected to the vine. And today you need to come and give your heart and life to Jesus Christ, ask Him to be your Lord and Savior. Where are you? And what is it that God's requiring of you today? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? And let's go to the Lord in prayer. In just a moment, we're going to sing a song of response, a song of invitation. And as we do, we want to give you the opportunity to trust Christ today. To come to Him and say, I've been a dead branch and I want to be connected to the vine and I want to see the life of Christ in me. And so today, if you need to come and give your heart and life to Jesus, if you need to be redeemed and forgiven of all of your sin, we want to give you the opportunity to do that. Maybe you're here today and you're not quite ready to walk an aisle, but you want to talk to somebody about that, and you say, you know what, Pastor, I really feel like God's stirring in my life, and I want to get saved, but I'm a little bit unsure, and I have some questions. If that's you and you're not ready to walk an aisle this morning, that's fine. Maybe after church you can just meet me in the back and say, Pastor, I need to talk with you for a few moments. I'd be glad to share with you how you can know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you need to come here today because you've been a Christian. Maybe you've been a Christian 30, 40, 50 years. But as you look at your life, you say, you know what? I've been a Christian, but I don't see the level of fruit that I want in my life. And maybe you just need to come today and you don't need to talk to me. You just need to kneel down here and talk to your Heavenly Father and say, Father, I ask you to prune these things out of my life so that I can be more fruitful for you. Whatever it is God's calling you to do in the moments that we have, you move as the Holy Spirit leads. Father in heaven, we thank you that you are a good Father who comes to us as the branches and prunes us so that we can be more fruitful and productive for you. So I pray, Holy Spirit, your gracious pruning shears would move in our hearts today and call us to do whatever it is that you've called us to do. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand, sing, and respond as the Lord leads you.